السلام عليكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We start off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who watches over us, who hears us, who accepts our call when we call on to him. We then set peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was sent as a mercy to mankind as an example for us how to live our lives and work on our relationships with one another. We then send peace and blessings upon the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and his family members, those who helped him and aided him, amma ba'd thereafter. In last week's khutbah, we talked about an incident that happened in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. And we started off talking about how, as we enter into the Dhul-Hijjah, the discussion will change all about Hajj. and leaving Ramadan, the discussion was about Ramadan, but then you have these months in the middle where not so many people know about the incidents that took place in these months. And last week we talked about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the lessons that we can learn from Hudaybiyah. And inshallah, today we'll talk about another incident that takes place in Dhul-Qa'dah, which is Umratul Qadha. The Umrah that had to be done because the Muslims were sent back in Hudaybiyah. However, in between there are some incidents that I want to touch on. When the Prophet ﷺ returns back from Mecca after Hudaybiyah, one of the things that Rasulullah ﷺ does is he writes letters to the different rulers and the different kings, calling them to Islam. And there's one in particular that really sticks out. The Prophet ﷺ sent a letter. This hadith can be found in Imam Bukhari's book number 7 of the beginning of Revelation. It's narrated by Abu Sufyan, and what's unique about this hadith is Abu Sufyan narrates it, but this incident takes place when Abu Sufyan wasn't a Muslim. And he gives his double perspective. He says that I was in the Roman lands when the Prophet ﷺ sent these letters, and this letter reached Hiraqal. Hiraqal, and his name is actually translated as what Disney has made a character, Hercules. Hiraqal, the name is translated as Hercules, and Imam Bukhari brings this hadith and said that Abu Sufyan says that Hiraqal called me to his kingdom. Why? Because he received a letter from the Prophet ﷺ, from Muhammad, and he reached out and he asked, is there anybody in our land? Go and find somebody that's from that same area. And there was a caravan there from Makkah to Mukarramah, and they called us, and in front, Hiraqal said to me, you are here, come forward. And he had all of my buddies stand behind me. I was ahead. And he explained himself. He goes, the reason why I have you forward, because if you say anything wrong, I'll be able to tell by the expression of your friends. So speak the truth. And he asks Abu Sufyan a series of questions. He says, number one, tell me about the Prophet Allah. Tell me about this man Muhammad. What kind of family is he from? And Abu Sufyan, who narrates his hadith, he says that I wanted to lie. With all the questions that he asked me, in my heart I wanted to lie, but I couldn't. So I had to speak the truth. And I said that he comes from a noble family. A family that we respect. A family that has proven themselves in our community and has earned the honor that they have today. He then asked me, has anybody from amongst you ever made a claim like this? And Abu Sufyan says, no. He's the first. Hiraqal Hercules then asks, is anybody from his ancestors? Does he come from a line of kings and rulers? Were his forefathers people of wealth? Were his forefather people that controlled? And Abu Sufyan said, no. There are no kings from the forefather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hiraqal then asks, from his followers, are majority of them poor or are they rich? And Abu Sufyan thinks back to the days of Mecca, where Bilal bin Rabah was being dragged to the streets and he was saying, Ahadun Ahad. Where Amr bin Yasir and his family that were slaves were being tortured, and he says to Hiraqal that his followers are majority youngsters, and his followers are majority poor people. Hercules then asks that, is his following increasing or decreasing? Are people joining him Or is it stagnant? And Abu Sufyan thinks, so this incident happens in the sixth year of Medina, and now the Muslims are in the thousands. If you take a pause, the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith says that our religion, our faith, it started off gharib, poor, weak, just a few followers. And the Prophet ﷺ says, and soon, before the end of time, it's going to return to that state where Muslims will be weak. The companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, how is this possible? How are we going to be weak? And the Prophet ﷺ expresses and goes on further details and says that people will hurt the Muslims and call each other to attack the Muslims like you call one another for a meal. Hey, I'm going out for lunch. You want to come join us? We're just going to go to Wolf Burger and grab a burger. Come join us. So the people will call each other to hurt the Muslim in a similar way. And the companion says, Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be small in number? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. But you're going to be in the billions. But the Muslims will be like the bubbles on the ocean, on the shore of the ocean. There are so many bubbles, but what do they do? Absolutely nothing. So Hiraqal asks Abu Sufyan, tell me, are the numbers increasing? And he says, yes. They started off with Khadija, Ali, Zayd, Abu Bakr, but now they're in the thousands. He then asks that when somebody embraces his religion, when somebody joins this faith of his, have you seen somebody leave the faith? Have you seen somebody apostate from Islam? And Abu Sufyan says, do you want? No. I can't think of anybody who accepted Islam and then leaves. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. He then asks that, does he break his promise or can he be trusted? Has he ever betrayed you? And Abu Sufyan, he said that when he narrates the hadith, he goes, this is the one opportunity that I found. I was waiting to speak bad about the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the one opportunity that I found. But if you look at this opportunity, it was so weak. It was such a weak attempt. He goes that he hasn't betrayed us, but we're currently in a truce. And I don't know what he's going to do. He goes, that was the only chance I could speak bad about the Prophet ﷺ, which wasn't even bad about the Prophet ﷺ. He then says, have you been to war with him? And Abu Sufyan says, yes, we have. We've had Badr, we've had Uhud, and then there was Khandaq. And Hiraqal asks, what was the outcome of these wars? Is that we lost a few, they won a few, we won one. It's been here and there. He then asks his final question. He says, tell me, what does he call you to? What is he asking of you? Is there some sort of entrance fee? Is there a membership fee that you have to pay him? What is he asking of you? And he says that he calls us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has called us to be good to people, to be mindful of our relationships. How are we with our parents? How are we with our spouses? How are we with our children? How are we with our neighbors? This is what he's telling the people to do. Now, Hiraqal says, he turns around, he goes, let me ask you why I asked these questions. Let me tell you why I asked these questions. And he tells the translator, he says, number one, I asked you about his family because all of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, they came from noble families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses good families to give his prophets to. And this tells us, the lesson that we learned from this is, if you want your children to be noble, then you have to give them the noble soil around it. You have to give them the right environment. Otherwise, this seed, either you put it in soil and it will grow out to be a flower, but if you put this seed in dirt, what will happen? Nothing. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose nobility for the prophets to come from, then if we want that same nobility amongst our children, then we have to provide them with a similar environment. He then says, I asked you about if he has ever, you know, if somebody else has made this claim of being a prophet. And you said no. If you had said yes, then I would think that he's just following somebody else's, you know, footprints. It worked for him. Let me try it. He said, then I asked you about if his forefathers were kings. You said in the negative. If you had said yes, I would think that maybe he's trying to bring back that rulership that his forefathers had, trying to bring back that legacy. He goes, then I asked you if he has ever been accused of lying. Do you know him as a liar? And the truth was, the Prophet ﷺ was a Sadiq al-Amin before prophethood. He goes, when you said no, I thought to myself that if this man doesn't lie on a day-to-day thing, then how could he lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If he's honest with his normal dealings, then how would this person find it okay to be lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So then I asked you about if his followers are poor or rich, and you said the poor, and Hiraqal Harkalis replies back that this is exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the people around all of his prophets. The people around Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, all of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they weren't surrounded by riches. Because surrounding yourself by riches, even though it may be permissible, but it's a huge test for your heart. He says, I asked you about the numbers increasing and decreasing, and you said they're increasing, and the reality is the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attracts people. The light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to grow because it's Allah's nur. It's guidance. It's a path that Allah has put out in front of us, and it will just attract people. He said, I asked you that when people accept Islam, do they leave Islam? And you said, no. And that made me understand that if you had said yes, I would think that they found out what the reality of this religion was and they didn't like it and that's why they left. But the fact that everybody stays as a Muslim, even the people that are close to him, even the Muslim people that have, you know, accepted what he has called them to, they're happy with it. And that made me understand that this is something good. He said, I asked you if he has ever betrayed, and he said, when you said a negative, he goes, this is the same way that other prophets were. And then finally he goes, I asked you about what he has ordered you to, and the answer that you gave, that he orders us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he orders us to be good, he goes, this is the same thing that all of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam call people to. Every single, and this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that I don't ask you for anything in ajriya illa ala Allah. Every single prophet said this, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. The answer of Hiraqal, the answer of Hercules, he says, Abu Sufyan, if what you have said is true, I'm not making this up. In Bukhari, narrated by Abu Sufyan, in the seventh book. He said, Abu Sufyan, if what you have said is true, then that man, Muhammad, will conquer the world that's underneath my feet right now. The land that I am as a ruler today, Rome, غُلِبَتْ الرُّومِ, a time will come where this faith, this religion of the Prophet will take control of this land as well. And then he said something very beautiful. He says, if it were up to me, if I could, gosh, only if, I would leave my post and go and meet him, and I would wash that man's feet. Word to word. He says, I would go and wash that man's feet. This hadith narrated by Abu Sufyan, and Abu Sufyan narrates it once he becomes Muslim later on. has so many lessons that we can derive from it. But ending off where a person that wasn't Muslim, when he sees, when you remove everything else and just look at the beauty of Islam, the core of Islam, it changes his heart. And he has to submit himself to the honor of the Prophet ﷺ and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we start off talking about Umratul Qadha. In Umratul Qadha, the following year, in the month of Dhul Qa'dah, the month that we are in right now, the Prophet ﷺ, he returns to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he performs Umrah, and he is only allowed to stay there for 3 days. One of the conditions of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was that the Muslims will come back, but they will only stay for 3 days. When the Muslims came into Makkah al-Mukarramah, one of the Sahaba came to the Prophet ﷺ and said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I've heard some of the Quraysh speaking that we look weak, that we look as if, you know, we can't do anything. And they were talking about how maybe they should attempt to ambush us, maybe try and attack and defeat these Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said, and this is where you see the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, he goes, if that's the case, let's show them our strength. Rasulullah ﷺ says, as we do Umrah, uncover your right shoulder. Until this day, every person that goes to do Hajj and Umrah follows this. And it started off at Umrah al-Qadha. Rasulullah ﷺ said, flex your muscles a bit. Now you might say, wait, isn't this prideful? And we see this in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. In Rasulullah ﷺ, one hadith, he says that to stand up in front and to show pride and show your strength in front of a zalim, that's actually an act of worship. Where Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the beginning of the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached and they said that Abu Dujana, he's wearing this red scarf and he's doing this, like, you know, warrior dance, this march. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him flex a little bit. Let him show who we are. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you must uncover your right shoulder as you perform Umrah. He says, on top of that, as we walk in tawaf, walk with a bit of swagger, with a bit of swing in your shoulders. Flex a little bit. But this can't be the normal state, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said only partial of our tawaf is done in that way. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, the third thing that we're going to do is we are going to call out our cry. And that cry is talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. This talbiyah, it originated at Umratul Qadha, first time, where the Muslims called out and said, look, we are here, but we are here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not here to fight. We're not here for any other reason. We are here and we are here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Our principle of no shirk, that still stands. The Quraysh saw this state and they said to one another, we don't know what you're talking about, but they look as strong as if we've ever seen them. And if you understand the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ, just with a little bit of tweaks, he avoided bloodshed. The Prophet ﷺ could have said, okay, if they want to attack us, let's attack them. They're breaking the treaty, we can go. But the Prophet ﷺ, his core principle was to avoid bloodshed. And Rasulullah ﷺ, with just a few adjustments, saves us from a bloodbath. The Prophet ﷺ stays for 3 days, and there he gets married to Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. On the third day, the Quraysh come and say, time's up. You gotta go. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very beautifully says to them, look, I just got married. How about let us stay for a few more days let me host a walima and come and join. Let's break bread together. And this is one of the beautiful lessons that Rasulullah ﷺ teaches in the Umrat al-Qadha, that Rasulullah ﷺ calls them to a meal. He tries to renegotiate, and if both parties are okay with him, then that's fine. But the Prophet ﷺ says, let's come and eat together. Let me host you. You're my guest. Showing that Rasulullah ﷺ was showing that kindness. Open your hearts. Share bread with one another. If you have somebody at work that may be a little bit aggressive, take them out for lunch. Take them out for coffee. From the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the third day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah and then returns back. There are many small bits that we could talk about in Umrat al-Qadha. This was the first time the Muslim had been back, and the emotions of returning back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited the grave of Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now is in the city where he was born. The companions, the emotions that they went through. But one of the things that I really want to point out is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of the day, he made an agreement with the Quraysh and he stuck to it. After 3 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back. Another point that's really important to understand is that we are approaching, once again, Dhul-Hijjah. We started off this khutbah talking about Dhul-Qadah, the month that we are in right now, but immediately after Dhul-Qadah comes Dhul-Hijjah. And this is where many people will be leaving for Hajj. And as we see people off to Hajj and we congratulate them for their journey, a question has to be asked, have I taken this journey as well? In last week's khutbah, we talked about the same thing, how the importance of going to those lands. And this week, I want to emphasize the same thing. Because the Prophet ﷺ, where he had the opportunity, he took it. Last week we talked about with Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah ﷺ tried. And if you look at this, sometimes you're going to try and it may not happen. You may try for Hajj, you may try for Umrah, you may gather the money, you may go online and submit your form on whatever the website is. But it might not work out. But immediately where you get a chance, take that chance. And this is what we learn from Umrat al-Qadha. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ويسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. ونعوذ بالله من شر أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask for infinite mercy أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask for mercy upon our loved ones أو الله have mercy upon our parents have mercy upon our children أو الله سبحانه وتعالى guide our youth أو الله سبحانه وتعالى guide us to your house and that which pleases you أو الله سبحانه وتعالى those amongst us that have not performed Hajj we ask that you call us and give us the invite O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you call us for Umrah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us the ability to go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that we get our deen from. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's ever a Muslim anywhere that's going through any type of difficulty, we ask that you remove those difficulties from their path. O Allah, if there's ever a person that's going through any type of difficulty, whether they're Muslim or not Muslim, O Allah, we ask that you make matters easy for them. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you show people the truth of Islam. Oh Allah, the way that you showed Hiraqal, the truth of Islam, we ask that you show the people that are around us the truth of Islam. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us the ability to practice upon what our deen teaches us. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sister Bahar Butt had passed away this past week in Frisco. We ask that you have mercy upon her and you fill her grave with light. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a newborn, her name is Mahaba Ahmed. We ask that you bless her with a successful life and your protector from any type of hardship. Oh Allah, we ask for Jannah. And the action that brings us close to Jannah, oh Allah, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam. And anything that angers you, oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim salam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Inshallah, after the Jamaat, the Jummah prayer, I request everybody to stay seated. Last week, alhamdulillah, we had a sister that accepted Islam. This week, we have a brother, Brother Terry, who's in the back, inshallah. So if everybody can stay seated for a few seconds, we'll have Brother Terry come up, and we will go over our faith with him, and inshallah, we will embrace him as he embraces our religion. So inshallah, please stay seated. Jazakallah khair. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Assirat Al-Mustaqim صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر
سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Once again folks, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله if you could just bear with us a few minutes, we have Brother Terry who we can make some way for him to come forward. So for Brother Terry, it's been a long journey to Islam. And in his life, he reached a point where he's like, there's no use of delaying this anymore. This needs to happen now. And he called me earlier this week, a family reached out to me like, do you have time on Friday? Let's do this on Friday. And when I spoke to him, he's like, it needs to happen. I knew it's gonna happen, but now is the time. So alhamdulillah, we're blessed to have you here and be a part of this journey of yours as you come into our faith of Islam and it becomes your faith of Islam. So inshallah, I will say the Arabic portion bit by bit, and then we'll say the English bit by bit. This will then bring you into the fold to make you a Muslim. You've known how Muslims are. You've been around Muslims for a very long time. You and I have met a couple of years back. So there's nothing much to say about that, but inshallah we'll get started. Ash.
Ash.
Hadu.
Hadu.
Al.
Al.
La.
La.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa ash.
Ash.
Hadu.
Hadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa Rasul.
Rasul.
I testify.
I testify.
That there is no one worthy.
That there is no one worthy.
Of worship.
Of worship.
But Allah.
But Allah.
And I testify.
I testify.
That Muhammad.
That Muhammad.
Is his servant.
Is his servant.
And messenger.
And messenger.
Takbir. Takbir. We've done this many times, but so still to this day, as somebody comes into our faith, it's one of the most joyous occasions. It gives us goosebumps down our back that somebody is joining us in this pursuit of spirituality. The Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us when somebody comes into the faith, everything in the past is washed away. Everything is gone. A new start. A new you. A new chance at life.
And when I said this last week, our faith is about second chances. Even for Muslims, if you want the second chance that Brother Terry has, all you have to do is raise your hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, congratulations, welcome. And we make dua for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you all the happiness and all the good in this world and puts barakah in your life. I mean, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. On your way out, I got a couple of quick announcements. Just a reminder that tonight is our family night, the challenges facing Muslim families in the West. It's going to be at 8:45 after Maghrib Salah. Tomorrow, we have our Hajj workshop with Sheikh Salah and Sheikh Mubin. You can RSVP at the go.friscomusjid.org/Hajj workshop. Next Friday, we have the Anatomy of Sin with Sheikh Iman Badawi. It's on June 16th after Maghrib. And lastly, you can sign up for a recurring monthly pledge to support the masjid at friscomasjid.org/donate. JazakAllah, everybody. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, brother.